Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the World Soccer Talk podcast. My name is Christopher Harris. In this special interview, we have a special guest. It is Andrés Cantor, the lead commentator for Telemundo Deportes' coverage of the FIFA World Cup coming up in November and December of this year. Andrés Cantor is one of the best in the business, a man who is very qualified. He's called numerous World Cups over the years for both radio and television. And he has also commentated games in English language, in addition, of course, to his famous Spanish language goal calls. Now, in this interview, we discuss a various amount of topics, including his thoughts on Telemundo's coverage of the World Cup coming up, which includes some of the talent that will be on hand in Qatar, as well as in the studio. But also, this interview was conducted before the FIFA Council confirmed that the opening game of this competition has been moved, so the competition starts a day earlier now, on November 20th. So Andrés shares his thoughts on FIFA's late decision to go ahead and change the opening game and start the World Cup a day earlier. In addition to that, we cover a whole bunch of different other topics too, including some of the best match atmospheres he has experienced as an experienced veteran World Cup commentator, plus much, much more. So here you go. Here's our interview with Andrés Cantor of Telemundo Deportes.
What for you though? This must feel like a agonizing wait, because normally by this point in the summer we would know who the World Cup champions are. We'd be moving on into the different seasons. But what for you personally is it like having to wait now 100 more days?
Well, I'm pretty sure, Chris, I have the same agony that the World Cup coaches have, because when they put out their rosters towards the mid or end of May for every Summer World Cup, they already know how the players are. And now there is a caveat that, you know, you have your team, most of the coaches know what their team is going to be like, but then they're in the middle of the season. So they have to put out the roster by mid-October, and we have to wait and see how, you know, players develop in this first third of their European season. So, like, for example, even though I enjoyed very much Messi's bicycle kick the other day, his goal, when I saw him in the air, I started, please, you know, put both your hands down and you know, don't break yourself on the way down. And I'm pretty sure that the coaches, I'm obviously exaggerating the figure, but I'm pretty sure the coaches go into every weekend now until, you know, whenever they get the players to see, you know, what level they're at, how fit they are, and if, you know, they don't get injured from week to week. So that is the agony that every soccer fan will have from here until the rosters are called up and the players are all safe in camp.
So you called, obviously, many, many World Cups for both radio and television. What's your expectations in terms of what the match atmosphere is going to be like in Qatar? And what for you has been the best World Cup that you've been to as an announcer, as a commentator, to call games? Which one had the best atmosphere?
Well, for what happened in my career, I would have to say that, and the fact that it was here in the US, the 1994 World Cup was really amazing. I mean, sold out stadiums all over America. Everyone got into the World Cup fever. And I just, I can imagine and project myself to 2026 now with so much more of a soccer fan base that it will be just be that will be the greatest World Cup, let alone a big sporting event in history, I believe. But I think the World Cup in Qatar will be awesome. I've been to many of the stadiums. The stadiums are so nice. I mean, top of, you know, the best structures themselves, very comfortable. Yeah, you know, the worst seat in the house is probably the almost the next best seat in larger stadium. So, and by what has been written, that, and I know many Argentinians already have tickets and air tickets, and many other nationalities that are going to just go to the World Cup. You know, they follow the national team. The World Cup, I don't need to tell you what the World Cup is. Mm-hmm. You remember Russia, you know, the Peruvians filled the stadiums where their national team played. Colombians the same, Argentinians the same, and, you know, we were as far away as Russia. And I don't think this time it's going to be different. I mean, the demand for tickets, as FIFA has pointed out, has been tremendous. And, you know, the fact that all the fans will be spread out, you know, in one big city with its municipalities is going to be very, very interesting, because usually you have them travel from one host city to the next following their team. Here, they're all going to be in pretty much one place.
So the FIFA Council is expected to make some changes to the World Cup schedule for the first couple of days, moving a couple of the games around. How does that impact you personally as a commentator or announcer? But also, what does this mean for Telemundo Deportes?
I'm going to speak on a personal note. I'm not part of I'm part of the network, but I don't think it. I might speak or might not speak for them. I don't think it impacts tremendously. As a matter of fact, we all thought for a while, why isn't the opening game a standalone game, or at least part of a two-game schedule like it was in Russia, but at least have, you know, the host country opened the competition with an opening ceremony. We understood it was because of the compact schedule that they put four games in a day. But really, it doesn't hurt to have, you know, Senegal and the Dutch might think otherwise, because Ecuador and Qatar will have an extra 24 hours rest. But in all honesty, I think this is the way it should have been from day one. To have just one opening ceremony, one opening match the day prior. It was this way for many years, I believe. So I don't think it impacts nobody. I mean, it's just, I would say, not common sense, but it's kind of common sense and the way it should have been from day one.
Now, Telemundo Deportes is announcing a whole host of new studio experts, studio analysts, one of which is Miguel Herrera, who is a football manager, coach with a fiery temper, with lots of passion. What can we expect from him, do you think, in terms of as an analyst in a studio? What is that experience going to be like?
Well, the beauty of the comprehensive team that we put together is that we can, you know, as announcers, you know, myself, Sami Sadovnik, Opan Alvarez, Jorge Calvo, the play-by-play, people can turn around and ask a World Cup coach like Miguel Herrera, who has the experience of having coached Mexico at the highest level in not only in the Gold Cups, but in Brazil 2014, ask all the World Cup, incredible amount of World Cup talent, players and coaches and referees that we have for their opinions. And I think that is that gives the audience such a rich, comprehensive experience. So what am I going to say about, you know, any given number nine missing an open goal? I will turn around and ask, you know, Carlos Hermosillo, hey, you've been there in that position. What happened to this guy? What am I going to say about a goalkeeper making a mistake? I'm going to turn around and go to Conejo Perez the former World Cup goalkeeper for Mexico in 2002. Hey, Oscar, what happened? What could he be thinking about for making that mistake? And so on and so forth. We have Amelia Valverde, Natalia Strain, two women coaches that are integrating into our broadcast. We have two World Cup referees. I will have a lot to say to the World Cup referees, but then those interchanges are going to be so rich for our audience that I think it's going to be our greatest World Cup coverage of all.
Yeah, and Maxi Rodriguez too, as far as an Argentine, you mean, kind of a world-class player, to be able to kind of ask him some questions about even coming up against Mexico.
No, we have Maxi, like you say, we have Fernando Hierro, we have Vichy Claudio Borghi, who won the World Cup in 86, Carlos Tenorio from Ecuador that played in Qatar. Not only will he be able to add his thoughts about his national team, but obviously, you know, what it's like to be in Qatar. But yeah, Maxi Rodriguez, I'm sure, will have something to say when comes the Mexico-Argentina game. He scored a beautiful volley in Leipzig and then scored the winning penalty kick against the Netherlands to put Argentina in the final in 2014. So just by the fact that he was such an important player, obviously he will have a lot to say for the good of our audience.
Yeah, the Maxi Rodriguez goal is one of my favorite World Cup goals of all time. The only other one I can think of that stands out in my mind as one of the best is Archie Gemmell from 1978 World Cup, Scotland against Netherlands. But speaking of Mexico, I mean, they've gone through a very difficult year. Do you have any optimism that things might change between now and November?
I have cautious optimism with all teams because of something that we touched upon earlier. Anything that I can say now, 100 days out, might not be valid, 10 days or 15 days before the World Cup. Mm-hmm. Why? Because usually when we make this pre-World Cup analysis, pretty much the European seasons are said and done with. So we know what shape the players are in. Both physically and football-wise, how tired they are, how many games they have played. Now it's like week to week. You know, we have to see how they progress week to week. So why am I saying I'm cautiously optimistic about Mexico? And here's a perfect example, Raúl Jiménez. Raúl Jiménez is, for now, that's what Wolverhampton has put out, is going to be out for a month. It's already been a week since that injury or 10 days. So he's going to have missed 1 month of match fitness going into the final countdown to the World Cup, which in such a shortened period of time, that could be crucial. You know, it's going to take him hopefully not too long to get back into match fitness and get into, you know, the rotation of the team. And he's so important to me in the Mexican national team, his role as a striker, as a player that can play, you know, in the wings, that contributes so much playing along the midfielders, that is, you know, something to look out for, not only in Mexico's case, but in everyone's, in every team that is going to participate in the World Cup's case. So, you know, they are under a lot of pressure every time they go into the World Cup, because everyone expects them to get to that fifth elusive game if they can just, you know, put their emotions aside and abstract from what is being said in Mexico and the pressure that they keep on putting the team. I always said that both the U.S. national team and the Mexican national team can compete against anybody in the world on any given day. And this is proven over the years, you know, in the World Cup history. They had a great game against Brazil in 2014, and Brazil was a host. They should have been Argentina in 2006 if it weren't for Maxi Rodriguez and so forth. So we will see. You know, we will see what happens with all of the players that are going to compete in the World Cup in this first part of their seasons.
So last question, Andres, and that is, I mean, you mentioned the European seasons, I mean, starting up right now and running through pretty close to the World Cup. What about South America in terms of the seasons in Brazil and Argentina? Does that favor them or give them any disadvantage, or is there no difference?
I believe there is no difference because they're in mid-season right now. Most of the seasons will be towards the end. But the reality is, from the final rosters, Argentina will probably have 2-3 players at the most that play in the local league. Brazil probably will have 2 or 3. Uruguay probably will have 2 or 3 as well, and even Ecuador will have. Probably Ecuador will be the one fielding the more local players, but not that many. So I don't think really it's a game changer for them regarding of where each of their seasons is. And, you know, most of them have players playing at the top level in Europe. So in that sense, everyone will be leveled.
Excellent. Well, Andres, hey, thank you for your time, and good luck. And I'm sure I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you to Andres Cantor and Telemundo Deportes for that interview. Definitely a lot to look forward to with the World Cup. And coming up early next week, we'll be back with the EPL review show with Kartik Krishnaiyer and myself. And the plan is to record it after Monday's Manchester United against Liverpool game, which is going to be, it's going to be a cracker. All right, everyone. Talk to you then. Enjoy your football.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.